News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So time now, 3:25 PM. This show's flying by already. I'm doing the next part of the Triple Dipper here. And by the way, top of the hour, you're going to want to stay tuned because that's when we go to the Grand Council with my brethren Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. But in the meantime, this one, this part of the Triple Dipper, number two, is called They Said What? So yeah, it's hilarious to me when you can own people with their own words. It's a cell phone, basically. They say something, and then they got to be responsible for what they said. Now, granted, I'm in radio. I say stuff 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, and I'm sure there's going to be times when someone takes issue with what I have to say. The interesting thing is, sometimes these things that are said, even they regret when they're said. Like, here's one. Charlene pointed this out to me this morning. You know this Nina Jankowicz, the one who's going to be in charge of the nonpartisan Ministry of Truth, you know, the Disinformation Governance Board from the Department of Homeland Security, the one that will decide, by the way, what is truth and what is not, and whether you, American citizen, whether you are in some way creating disinformation that could have a negative impact upon society as we know it. By the way, this is the one that's got to stop. This is the one that we joke about, but it's legit. This is one of those you need to call your state, your U.S. representative and say, make this stop. All right, that being said, so here's a quote from Nina Jankowicz. I'm watching the video. I mean, it's on Twitter right now. I just retweeted it to my account if you want to see it. It's at Sen Phil Williams, S-E-N, at Sen Phil Williams on Twitter. Nina Jankowicz from the nonpartisan Ministry of Truth in a recent speech is standing up and saying, critical race theory has become one of those hot-button issues that the Republicans and other disinformers have seized on. Okay, let's break that down. She said what? Yes, she did. First of all, Nina Jankowicz does not believe in critical race theory. It's just a hot-button issue. It's political rhetoric. All right, so Nina Jankowicz, number one, the one who's going to be in charge of deciding what is truth and defining disinformation, she believes that critical race theory has become, you know, just a hot-button issue. But then she also goes a step further. It's one of those hot-button issues that Republicans and other disinformers have seized on. Oh, okay. So Nina Jankowicz, who's going to be in charge of deciding what is truth and what is not, she's of the opinion that Republicans, by and large, are disinformers. Just Republicans and other disinformers seize on things like this. This is the person that the Biden administration selected because, in the words of Alejandro Mayorkas, Secretary of Department of Homeland Security, she is eminently qualified. Well, how about that? I tell you what, I'll hold that clip, Copper, till we get back from the break because I don't want to get in the middle of it and have the music start playing. Here's another one. I will do this because this is just funny. I mean, funny and yet stupid. This is one of those where you look at it and go, you know, I'm amazed you got elected to office. Did you know, according to the Blaze.com dated yesterday, in Oregon, thanks to the new Menstrual Dignity Act, let that sink in, the new Menstrual Dignity Act, you know, Oregon, where Portland, where they're riding, you know, where Antifa throws smoke bombs and paint-filled balloons at people who just want to gather to hear a political speech. At Oregon, where they have, you know, like the lawless section of town where people were murdered. And anyway, all said and done, Oregon forces all schools, elementary included, to put menstrual products in boys' bathrooms with instructions on how to use them. You did hear me correctly. Every public school in Oregon, including elementary institutions, will soon be required to provide tampons and other feminine products in boys' bathrooms with instructions on how to use them. The controversial requirement is in accordance with the state's new Menstrual Dignity Act. I got news. You know what elementary boys are going to do? They're going to be wearing tampons like hats. That's what they're going to do. What do you think's going to happen, you jacklegs? Governor Kate Brown, you ought to be embarrassed. How much state resources are you expending to make this happen? Putting feminine hygiene products in an elementary school boys' bathroom is the height of ridiculousness. Yes, they said that. I'll tell you more about the quotes from that article when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and laughing at liberals every single day. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. So, yes, I'm in a section right now, my triple dipper, I'm calling this. They said what? Yes, you look at things that liberals say, actually say, and you realize that, you know, either A, they're just so far gone they don't know what they're saying anymore, or B, they just said something and did not realize the impact of what they were saying, because that happens too. So the one that gets me, though, because this one had to have gone through the entire legislative body and get passed by a majority in order to go to the governor to be signed into law, is the fact that Oregon, the state of Oregon, God bless them in Oregon, in the state of Oregon is now going to force all schools, elementary and up, to put feminine hygiene products, menstrual products, in boys' bathrooms with instructions on how to use them. Okay. So I guess here's the quote. You ready? Michaela Bedard, the executive director of the Portland-based advocacy group called Period. Okay, just take that for what it's worth. Added in a press release that this is a progressive policy, but also a bipartisan one, because menstruation does not discriminate race, class, or political affiliation. But I got news. It does discriminate as to gender and age. So if you're putting it in elementary school, first of all, pre-puberty, they don't need it. And secondly, if you're putting it in the boys' room, I got news. Biology, they don't need it. And I'm saying, here's what's going to wind up happening, literally. Not head little elementary school boys like what I was are going to be wearing tampons like hats. That's what they're going to do. They're going to be playing games with them. They're going to be, you know, doing all kinds of knuckleheaded stuff with them, because that's what boys do. And if you think for a second you've just liberated society by putting menstrual products in a boy's bathroom in the sixth grade, I got news. All you did was create more issues for the teachers to have to deal with, literally. There's going to be craziness happening in the cafeteria. Just tell you, just say it. All right, moving on. I got a clip here. Let's move to Alabama for a minute. Things that they say. What did they say? They said what? So clip one. Yeah, Copper, you got it ready? Good to go. All right, so clip one. So Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin is the gift that keeps on giving. All right, the man has done so much to express the most liberal views. Do not think for a second that just because we're not living in Illinois or New York or California that we don't have massive levels of liberalism holding office in the state of Alabama. What was the largest city in the state of Alabama fell to the second largest and barely made that. It almost fell by almost like 130 residents to number three. Well, that great decline came during the term of Mayor Randall Woodfin. Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin, who has done things to curtail the police from being able to conduct their operations, who has issued over 15,000 blanket pardons for anyone ever arrested for marijuana possession back to 1992. Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin, who just the other day tweeted out that when the leak from the Supreme Court of the United States came out, that he thought that was a great thing that it was leaked, but he also thought, though, that they need to take immediate steps in Congress to codify Roe v. Wade and make it the law of the land and not allow the states to have a say. Well, he's also said several times before that he is disappointed with Alabama's pro-life laws, because he doesn't like the fact that the legislature can actually pass laws still outlawing marijuana. That's why he's going to pardon everybody. He also doesn't like it when the state legislature passes laws you know, preserve life. So he believes it's an economic development issue. How dare we be pro-life? Now businesses won't want to come to Birmingham, he says. Clip one, Copper. You ready? Go ahead and play it.
That conversation, we're having that conversation in 2019. Honestly, that makes me sick. I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed.
Now it looks like the ban is already claiming its first economic development casualties. Woodfin said one IT company will now not come to the Magic City, while another is putting its potential move on hold.
And they want to make sure that the quality of life for their employees is taken care of and is not compromised. And that's fair to those employers.
Woodfin will continue selling Birmingham to potential companies as a progressive place to set up shop, and claims he explained to the governor's office what her signature last week will cost his city.
We all agree on economic development, and we need to realize when we make certain decisions, it has an adverse negative ripple effect on our ability to recruit jobs.
The mayor added he hoped lawmakers are as aggressive about battling the birth mortality rate in Jefferson County.
Woodfin claims a non-disclosure agreement prevented him from identifying the two IT companies or how many jobs they wanted to bring to Birmingham. He said his office will continue trying to recruit both.
Hey, Copper, what TV station was that from? I don't recall. I don't have my notes in front of me for that. What TV station? Do you see it?
It was WG...
25 I's, 6 nays, 1 ups.
WVTM 13.
Oh, WVTM Channel 13. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So WVTM, which I believe is out of the Birmingham area. Anyway, WVTM Channel 13, credit to them. That was a 2019 story, by the way. That relates to that pro-life legislation I told you that the state legislature got passed that we gave an award for at the Alabama Policy Institute. Now, first of all, let me point out something. Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin says, there's two companies now. The mayor may not even come here. One of them already said they're not coming because they want a good quality of life for their people. I got news. If there was a company looking for an opportunity to expand their capabilities and to earn a living, and they were already looking at Alabama, which was already a pro-life state before 2019, and they're not going to come here now because an abortion law was passed, and they think that relates to quality of life, then they probably really weren't coming here anyway. I also take note that at the end he says, well, I can't talk about which companies they were because we're under a confidentiality agreement. Bull crap. I don't believe it for a second. And if that did happen, then let the company speak out. I would love to hear the company say, we take issue with this, because it's not like it's not the age of woke corporatism. So if you're a company out there who wanted to come to Alabama, you changed your mind because we're a pro-life state, I would love to hear from you. I would also love for Mayor Randall Woodfin to man up and go ahead and tell us who it was so we can decide whether it was really just his cousin who was going to open a computer repair shop and have three people, or whether it was going to be like Google setting up a major center, which, by the way, Google is here. They have a major center. All right, there's that. What did they say? Well, there's that one. You've got the mayor of one of the largest cities. It's one of the big five cities in Alabama. The mayor of one of the largest cities talking about how disappointed. The fact that we're even having this conversation in 2019, it's embarrassing. Makes him sick. And we're not going to get any economic development out of it. Okay, whatever. Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin. I don't think Tommy Battle feels that way. In fact, I'm pretty sure Tommy Battle's presiding over the city that has grown exponentially, despite the fact that, how about that? We're a pro-life state. So maybe Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin ought to take a lesson from Tommy Battle. Oh, there's an idea. How about that? Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin, if you look at it, the city of Birmingham, by the way, stat that I read recently, and I haven't gone back and validated it, but the stat that I read most recently said that roughly 30% of Jefferson County's population is in the city of Birmingham, but the city of Birmingham accounts for roughly 80% of all the murders. Maybe Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin ought to think about quality of life in terms of crime rates in the city in which he presides. There's an idea. How about that one? Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin. All right, listen. Next one I've got. I'm skipping all over the place now. Because what I've got here, by the way, this is not, there's no theme to this except that I call this, they said what? Yeah, because it's things that libs say. I'm using their own words. We're self-owning them with their own words. So it's like a buffet, all right? This is a smorgasbord. I have the charcuterie board of stupid things that liberals say laid out in front of me. So, yes, I'm skipping all over the place. Here's one for you, another one from TheBlaze.com. TheBlaze.com. Pansexual, which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. Pansexual Florida teacher fired after discussing her sexuality with middle school students. God. Yes, Dateline yesterday. TheBlaze.com author Chris Pandolfo reports that a Florida middle school teacher claims she was fired because she had a discussion with students about her sexuality, whom she says then asked, could they draw flags expressing their own sexualities? Okay, sure, that's what happened. Casey Scott, a first-year art... Let me tell you how to handle this, Casey Scott, in case this ever happens to you again somewhere in life. If you're in a room full of middle school students and you're their teacher, and somebody says, Ms. Scott, I saw your Facebook page, and can you tell us about your sexuality? The question should be responded to as something like, I'm sorry, you saw that. That's really not appropriate for classroom discussion. So you talk to your parents about that kind of thing. End of discussion. But no, what did she do? Oh, it was an open moment. It was an opportunity. And so she literally goes on to say she discussed with them. In her words, she says, a discussion happened in class, and because of that, now I'm fired. No, lady, it wasn't because a discussion happened. It was because you're an idiot, and you thought it was a great idea to get with middle school students and discuss what you call pansexualism, which apparently means that you have sexual preferences with no preferences. That basically, you can have a relationship with a guy or a woman or their dog, I guess. But the reality is, this is wrong. And he goes on to say that then she encouraged them to all make flags as an art class project that described their own sexuality. She hung them on the door. But when the school administrators caught wind of it, they told her to get those things down. And she said she went over to the recycling bin where they had all been thrown. All the kids were staring at me. And I went and I crumbled their flags up right in front of them. So basically what she did was she made a scene. Parents had registered complaints about the conversation and the artwork. Students confirmed the discussion did take place, and some were confused by what was going on. And yes, the teachers' union disavowed her and said, she's not a member. You can fire her for cause at any given time. So yeah, that just happened in Florida. And that's what she said. That was her excuse. A conversation happened, and I got fired. All right. Listen, I got more of this. It keeps on going. Like, what did Biden say? And then what did Biden say on another time? And what did Biden say on the other time? There's the gift that keeps on giving, too. All right, folks, listen, we're going to cover more of this when we get back. And then top of the hour, the Grand Council. And apparently I'm in a mood for the Grand Council. So, yeah, we'll have the Grand Council with Jeff Poore, Dale Jackson, and myself. But, yes, this is a rowdy segment. They said what? Lips will say anything. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Time now, 3:53 PM. By the way, before I go any further in this section I call They Said What? I got to tell you, ZLA Solutions, I know these folks personally, and they are so good at what they do. ZLA Solutions is the best around right now at putting people back to work. So if you're looking for a job, you can go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. They've got great jobs listed all over North Alabama. Literally, they can plug you right in. But if you are also an employer looking to fill out the ranks of your employee workforce, then yeah, they can handle that for you. They've got major clients all over the northern part of the state where they can go in, they can do the recruiting, the drug testing, the background checks, all of it, and outfit you with the workforce of your needs. And so I'm just telling you, right now at ZLA Solutions, they like to say, at ZLA, we don't make it, we just make it better, because that is their stated mission in life. That's their passion, is making your business better. That's what they do. So check them out, ZLAUSA.com, and tell them you heard about it right here on Right Side Radio. All right, I'm doing this segment. I'm finishing up this segment. Top of the hour, we got the Grand Council coming on, and that's going to be Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson and me. But right before I get to that point, I got to just finish up this section on They Said What? I mean, this stuff is funny, but it's also maddening. It's, you look at it and go, God, how do you people function in life? Well, it's obvious that we have differing views. But sometimes you look at it and think, did you just really say that? And they did. Here's one story off of a National Review. So I pulled this one, and this is another one of those maddening moments where you think, all right, everybody can't get a trophy. Equity and equality are two different things. Well, story on National Review dated today, actually. It's called, the title of it is On College Admissions, It's the Woke Fringe Versus Everyone Else. It says the polls show that the wokesters' vision of the ideal admissions process for college is wildly out of step with the American public. Here's the deal. Apparently, during the pandemic, I didn't know this because I haven't had to deal with college admissions in quite a while. My kids are grown. During the pandemic, hundreds of colleges made the SAT and ACT optional. Why? I guess because you just so you're going to have a whole section of people who got into college without having to do the things it usually takes to get into college, I guess. Anyway, hundreds of colleges made the SAT and ACT optional, and campus wokesters are now hoping to preserve that change as part of their larger assault on a merit-based pillar of education. It says that left-wing, here's the they said what. Left-wing academics have demanded an end to racist tests like the SAT and ACT as a part of their efforts to dismantle white supremacy. What? Do they not understand? I mean, Lord, I took the ACT. It was hard, and I'm white. I mean, do they not understand that this is not nobody looks at gender. Nobody looks at race. Nobody looks at any of the demographics like that when you take this test. I guess what they're doing is they're presuming, by saying this, they are presuming that black people cannot take tests the same as white people. And that is just absolutely insulting to an entire demographic of our population. It's just like the whole idea about voter ID. Voter ID is racist. Are you saying that black people are not smart enough to know how to get a photo ID? That's racist in itself. All right, here's the deal. It says the Common App, which is an app apparently that is used by, it's some kind of app that was developed for using for college admissions. It says more than a million students use the Common App to be able to apply to over 900 colleges each year. It was revamped in 2021 to promote a, quote, anti-racist college admissions process. Whatever. But here's the thing. Pew Research did a poll. And it turns out that 93% of the respondents, which was, by the way, 10,400, that's a big poll, 10,441 respondents. 93% of them said that high school grades have to be factored in. 85% said that standardized tests like the ACT and SAT should be considered. And 67% more said they should also add in community service. Love it. So apparently the American public does not agree with the liberals who want college admissions to be an everybody gets a trophy kind of opportunity. Here's one from Daily Wire. I'm still in the, they said what? Daily Wire. Dateline yesterday. Daily Wire, written by Mary Margaret Olihan, leftist groups are directing the protesters to descend upon Supreme Court justices' homes. Yeah, that's pretty awful. And they are saying that. Activist groups, it says, are directing angry abortion protesters to the homes of the, quote, six extremist, end quote, Supreme Court justices. Yeah, that's just wrong. Judicial Crisis Network President Kerry Severino said the radical left and their dark money founders have one goal, as to intimidate the court. Yes, I agree. Where's the website? Hang on a second. There's a website of a group called, shoot, I've lost their name. Where is it in the article? Anyway, the bottom line is the website I'm talking about lists the street names where each justice supposedly lives with their families. And it lists, of course, Amy Coney Barrett, John Roberts, Samuel Alito, Brett Kavanaugh. Oh, I see. They blocked the name of the group. They did not want to put their website up. They're just saying that one of the activist groups has a website that says this. Okay. If you'd like to join or lead a peaceful protest, let us know. Peaceful protest. You don't peacefully protest in front of someone's personal residence. Go to their place of business. They're operating in their official capacity. That's the way this works. You can't sue them as individuals because they are justices operating in their official capacity, nor should you go to their house and intimidate their spouses and their children. But they do. That's what they do. I didn't even get to all the things that Biden said. I have three stories on Bidenisms. All right. Anyway, coming right back, the Grand Council, myself, Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson. Good times. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.